people would like to join Kathy right out here in the narthex. Kathy has a word about Abraham and the promise and the descendants as numerous as the stars, and they will be right here. You're welcome to go if you'd like. Maybe I should add the caveat, if you don't like it, you can come right back in. Keep the door open. The ushers are there to help. Yep. Great. Great. It's not too late. You can be living. Yep. Yeah, go ahead, run. I'm waiting for you, actually. This way. Right out this way. Yep. See these big pink chairs? They're right in those big pink chairs. Right? Just walk right through the door and you'll see them. You're right there. It's great to have a big, confused crowd of kids. I remember the first time that I saw or heard of the great cloud of witnesses. I didn't recognize it at the time. But looking back, I know it for what it was. And I remember it like it was yesterday. I was working as an electrical engineer for the city of LA, and I was up in the boardroom on the 11th floor, gathered with about 20 other electrical engineering women who had called our division head and all of us together to have a meeting. You know, it's serious when the women do that, right? The women wanted to entreat upon the division manager to have a special training program just for women electrical engineers. And the thinking was that we were somehow being oppressed in this heavily male-dominated environment, and that we needed some training how to handle that oppression. But they didn't realize who they had called the meeting with, because our division head was an immigrant. He was an Asian immigrant who had himself struggled as an engineer and suffered oppression as a minority. And when the women were done talking, he said, "Are you crazy?" He said, "The last thing in the world that you need is for the people here to treat you like you're different than they are. The last thing that you need is to impress upon people's mind that you can't make it in this world. And you can. You have the education, you have the training, you have the credentials, and most importantly, you have the job." And he said, "What would you be doing to the witness of all the women who have come before you and struggled so that you could stand in this place?" And in that moment, it hit me. I was not self-made. There was a whole cadre of women who had gone before me, who had applied to university and been thrown out because they were the wrong gender, who had suffered through those miserable classes. By the way, I remember this part very well too. Suffered through those miserable classes where they are in the minority, all the men look at them like they can't do it and they're not capable and they should just get back to the kitchen. I was present to all the women who graduated and made it, who built up the possibility for me to be in that place. And not only them, but women who fought so that I might be able to vote. Do you know what they told women back in the days when women wanted to vote and they didn't have the vote? The men told them, "You can vote if you can hold a pencil." And then they strung the women up by their thumbs and suspended them off the ground until their hands were out of joint and their hands useless. And while I was sitting in the room, I thought about those women and the privilege of the platform on which I stood. Looking back, I know that was the great cloud of witnesses. People who suffered and struggled through their own plight, not just for themselves, but for the possibility of women who would come generations after them. And I remember the first time I heard the great cloud of witnesses. I had left engineering and gone to seminary. I was all done with my book work, thank God. Actually, that's never done. I should take that back. But I was on my internship. And I had been serving in the congregation for about a month, and how our internship program worked is that you had to preach one Sunday a month. And so after a month of being there, the Sunday came. And the church filled up with people. There were about 400 people there. And I was sitting in the chair next to the pastor, who was much older, much more experienced, and much more male than I was, and so feeling all of that again. And the time was nearing where I was going to get up and preach, and I just remember being terrified. And then I heard the voice of my grandfather, who had gone on to glory years and years before, in the back of my mind. And he said to me, "You can do anything you set your heart to, sweetheart. Anything." And then I heard the familiar humph of my gospels professor, who did that every time he thought something was interesting. And the voice of Marty Stortz, my history professor. And I felt my mom's arms around me. And much like that first time back as an engineer, I felt that I had not made myself. I hadn't even brought myself to that moment. But what I felt was a platform rising underneath me of all the people who loved and supported me and prayed for me and wished me well. And I felt it swell up as a platform above their heads, and I was standing on that platform. And I thought not only about them, but about the saints and the apostles and the martyrs, everyone through the ages and centuries who had preached the gospel of grace and endured hardship so that the keys of the office of the pastorate might endure. And the congregation silenced, and that was the platform I stood on and preached for the first time. And I remember the first time I felt that great cloud of witnesses. I was broken and humble from broken relationship, and a cadre of women gathered around me and touched me when I felt the last place I was worthy to be was the church. They touched me, and I felt not their hands, but the hands of Jesus himself, who had given the mantle of his ministry to these women. And not only them, but to every Christian who had ever been baptized from the beginning and the foundation of our religion. I could see it, I could hear it, I could feel it. The great cloud of witnesses rising from time to time to tell me, "I am not self-made. And neither are any of you. Neither are we." Sometimes I sit in this chair, I stand behind the altar, not always, but sometimes I look out and I can't believe you're here. I can't believe you get out of bed on a Sunday morning after working hard all week and you show up in this place. I can't believe that anyone shares this crazy, ridiculous faith of mine. But here you are. Here you are. I look out and I can't believe the power and the majesty of God, who gives us mantle of ministry, a foundation to stand on, a great cloud of witnesses to support us. And we come. We come. We come whoever we are, however we are, broken, bleeding, grieving, joyful, indifferent, wondering, faithless, faithful. We come however we are to this place, and to me it is a miracle. We're not self-made. The great cloud of witnesses is our heritage. It's our inheritance. It's magnificent and glorious, and they pass the mantle to us. fools. They passed the mantle to us. And what do they and Jesus ask of us? But to live in the recognition of our place in the universe. They want us to come to the font and remind ourselves who we are and whose we are and how exactly we got here. They call us to the table and urge us to be fed and nourished, that we have the strength to go out and do what is right, because we always seem to be presented with a small but very distinct opportunity to do the right thing when we don't want to. They call to us from inside, from our cowardice and our uncertainty and our wondering. And they remind us that this is our time. This is our time. This body of believers is ours. Ours to cherish and to love and to celebrate. This font is ours. The gift of salvation, ours. The call to discipleship, ours. Human beings always seem to want to do what they want to do for their own good. But we're called to something so much greater. We're called to be heirs and inheritors of a promise we can't see. By someone invisible who speaks to us from the recesses of our mind and the darkness of our uncertainty. Who calls us to greatness for the sake of the promise itself. That we might do justice to the legacy that's been handed to us. And live our lives with joy and purpose for those who will follow. Grace is ours. And peace is ours. The fruit of the Spirit is ours. This is our time. God bless you. God bless your life and your journey. The cloud of witnesses praise you. And give us purpose and joy in our time. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. united into one by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray with all God's saints for healing, wholeness, and peace in all the earth. God of glory, we ask your blessing for chaplains, deaconesses, and diaconal ministers. Grant them wisdom and compassion as they embody your grace in the forgotten places of this world. Lord, in your mercy, we seek your healing for oceans, streams, hot springs, and lakes. Clean the waterways damaged by human carelessness. Provide all who thirst access to fresh water. Lord, in your mercy. We seek your healing for all who struggle with addiction, mental illness, physical ailments, or spiritual distress. Refresh them with the water of life and fill them with your abundant love. Especially we pray for Gemma, Leah, Pastor Ted, Lars, Maria, Dave, Shirley, Gil, Nelsa, Heidi, Daniel, Genevieve, Jen, Gladys, John, Bentley, Patrick, Jill, Gary and Ellen, Lynn, Jeff and Dallas, and for those who mourn, Martin, Hillary, Corliss, Lisa, Janice, Greg, Judy, and their families. Carry their burdens and uplift them by your compassionate spirit, Lord. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. We ask your blessing for nurses, doctors, social workers, and emergency responders. Sustain them to be vessels of your healing and comfort. Empower them to restore wholeness to the broken and hope to the despairing, especially all those that are refugees. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. For what else do the people of God pray? Those beset by tornadoes and flooding.
For Hope and Valerie and all of Gladys' family.
Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We give you thanks for all the saints. Wipe away our tears of sorrow and mourning, and when we die, bring us to the church triumphant. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Into your care, Alpha and Omega, we entrust all for whom we pray. Be with us now and always, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated as we take up the offering.